Everyone, this is John.
This is Will.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Super Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. And like the name implies, it is a Super Nintendo edition of the podcast in which we talk about Super Nintendo games, sort of semi-chronologically, as they came out 21 years ago. So we're up to May of 1995. There was one really notable game that came out in May of 1995, and it was Ogre Battle. We already talked about that one.
Yeah.
So we're going to pivot here. And you got a couple of games to bring up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Shin Megami Tensei, which is a game that only came out in Japan back in October of 92. But why don't we start with one of yours, because you got a couple.
Sure, yeah. I guess let's go...
Okay. Ryan, as always, nice t-shirt.
Thank you. I'm wearing my Cerulean City Gym t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it looks pretty flashy. It's pretty slick. So, yeah, the first one I want to talk about is a game that came out a long, long time ago in 1991. Oh. I mean, considering that we're in 1995.
Yeah.
And that's Captain Commando.
Hmm.
So,
is it about a captain that doesn't wear pants?
Is it
or underwear? Doesn't wear underwear.
No, it is not.
Because he's going commando.
No.
Well, there is a baby in a big robot, so probably not wearing pants.
Probably not.
Unless you count the robot portion of it.
The robot pants?
Yeah, the robot itself could be considered pants.
Did they build pants for the robot?
Yes. The robot.
So you have the robot, then build a pair of
this
pants.
This will answer all of your questions. There's the cover art. So yeah, clearly wearing.
Oh yeah, look at that. The robot is wearing pants.
Awesome pants. Yeah,
and then there's some really awesome wrinkled pants. Yes.
Wow. Okay, so
those are amazing.
Let's talk about what this game is.
Yeah.
Is for a game that came out in 91. It's probably like, why did it come out in 95? And this is just when it got its first release in Japan on the Super Nintendo, because this is an old arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Commando is essentially a new skin and some new levels to Final Fight.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And it incorporates, given that it is like. Now, 5 years after the release of Final Fight, they do some more interesting stuff. For example, there's vertical levels. You have four characters to pick from. You can play two-player in this.
Mm-hmm.
So you have... of course, they're all commandos. You have Captain Commando. You have one guy that's called like Mac the Knife. Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's basically like this big mummy that looks a lot like Hollywood. Remember that Hollywood character from... Is that right? The guy that would jump in the air with the knives. From the original Final Fight?
Not Cody, the other guy.
No, the bad guy. There's a bad guy that would jump around with knives and try to jump on top of you.
Sure.
Kind of looks like that. There is the big robot baby, and then there's a sort of ninja-looking dude as well.
No female characters? No playable
not
ladies?
This one. No, you get to beat some up, apparently.
Oh, great. Yeah, perfect.
I recently learned that do you remember the character, I think its name is Poison?
Right.
Is actually in drag.
Right. Yes.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, and that whole character line, like Capcom, like there's like this whole sort of mythos around the character of Poison, because now Poison is like transgendered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a whole thing around that. Like, it's just really side character in all these like Capcom beat 'em up games that you go around and just beat up this person.
Yeah. So, what would you pay for a new Captain Commando game on your Super Nintendo? How much would you pay for that cartridge?
Captain Commando?
Would it be $100?
It would not be $100, no.
Okay, well, that's a going price for this guy.
Swing and a mess.
Yeah.
Is it available to download anywhere? Like, is this on any sort of virtual console?
I'm sure there is somewhere.
That spreadsheet I was using that keeps track of everything listed it as an N. So, no.
Wow.
And they actually do it. He'll list whatever if it's available. Maybe it is now, maybe it was in the past, but at least at the time that I was looking at that spreadsheet, it is not available.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's a really cool game. I mean, I played a little bit of it on emulator just because I wanted to, tool around with it. If it looks and feels exactly like the Capcom game. It even has the same city-style layout. You remember how cool it was when you were going through the levels in Final Fight? How it gave you the entire city, and then you're just going through, like, bit by bit?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is Capcom, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally, this is their franchise. And it's kind of weird, because this is one that they've done nothing with, except for, like, I know this character, aside from this game, I guess, now, I knew this as a character from Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
Which is one I never really liked to play all that much. Thought it was a kind of a glass cannon. No range. Not really easily executable combos, if you want to talk about Marvel vs. Capcom, which I do right now, and you guys aren't saying anything.
Apparently. Clearly.
Oh yeah, so it's a fun game. Yeah, I don't really have that much to say about it other than this is a game that we missed that came out, I think, in March. So
okay.
It's out there if anyone feels so inclined.
Cool. So let's jump over to Shin Megami Tensei, which I mentioned before, came out in October of 92 in Japan only. And this was a game that's had a couple of ports. It was ported to the PC Engine after they made it for Super Nintendo. The Mega CD got ported to the PlayStation, kind of got an enhanced edition for the GBA. But it was only ever released outside of Japan in March 18th of 2014.
Whoa.
So pretty recently, yeah. Hmm. A whopping 22 years later. It finally got an iOS. Not really a remake. It was more of the GBA version that they brought over to iOS devices. And I believe Android as well. And this one, they were never allowed to localize it by either Sony or Nintendo because of these really strong, like, religious and occult themes and aesthetics.
Then mm-hmm. The title itself apparently translates to True Goddess Reincarnation.
Right.
Well, of course.
So to that point, or to the point that they made this game, Atlus didn't really have their own really defining series. They'd done a lot of sports games for the NES. They also did Friday the 13th and the Karate Kid license games for the NES. They did some...
Oh, they did Run Saber. Run Saber's a game I really like. I think that was them.
Run Saber, I think they did after Shin Megami Tensei, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they did that one. They did a few puzzle games on the Game Boy. But they kind of viewed Shin Megami Tensei as this gateway to build their own brand.
Yeah, it's a bit different.
Yeah. And then what they ended up with was this game that has a much harsher tone. And at the time, like, this really controversial artistic style and themes. Very different from the general very heavily fantasy RPGs at the time. It was very different from stuff like NX and Square were doing. Like I mentioned, it is an RPG, Shin Megami Tensei. It is turn-taking, there are random battles. It's, despite the aesthetic and the general tone of the game, it's very rooted in traditional JRP style, like much like Dragon Quest. So battles will appear at random, you'll input your commands, give the signal to execute, and then watch everything play out. And it's all in first person, all these battles, much like Dragon Quest. And you can select a variety of commands. You have your two different attack commands, a sword and a gun. You can use magic, you can use an item, you can use a defend, and you can summon. And what your summons are is it allows you to bring a demon into your party. And what the demons are, like your demons, your actual summons, you recruit them from out on the field. And that's really what differentiates this series from a lot of other series, especially on the Super Nintendo. So you end up recruiting these enemies into your party. And like your party, there's a party system. There are other recruitable characters that you bring in. Most notably, there are four recruitable characters that you can bring in. So at the beginning of the game, you're wandering through this hallway in first person, this kind of a psychedelic hallway, and you encounter a couple of characters. One's called the Hero of Law, one is called the Hero of Chaos. And then eventually, like, your character's the hero. You'll encounter someone who's the heroine. You get to name everybody mm-hmm. in this game, much like Pokemon. It's not the only time I'm going to make that.
How many characters do you get?
I believe there's a total of four playable characters.
How many characters do you get to name? How many characters do you get to name somebody?
Four. Four. You get to name yourself, you get to name your two buddies, and you get to name the heroine.
No, how many characters do they allow you to have if you're spelling out the name of the thing?
Oh.
That's my question.
If you're spelling it, wait.
Because I like a lot of extra characters if I'm naming them.
Oh, okay.
Do I get 12 digits equivalents? Or, like,
can I name it? You know? I don't think it's that many. Maybe
Lord God,
eight.
Queen of the Dragons?
You're probably not going to fit all that. Unless you're just using a lot of consonants. So you have this party system, you have your human characters, but then you can also summon your demons into it, which you're recruiting from the battlefield. And in order to recruit them, it's not like you're whittling down their HP and throwing a Pokeball at them, but what you're doing is you're engaging in conversation. So one of your first battle commands you can choose to is you can talk to them, and you basically have two options when you talk to them. You can approach them in a friendly manner, or you can approach them in an aggressive manner. And from either one you choose, you're then pushed into this dialogue tree where you're telling them things, or they're asking for money from you, and you can choose to give them some money. They might ask for more, they might join up with you, they might just bolt right there with your cash. And sometimes, you know, you try to engage in a dialogue tree with them, and they're just done with the conversation. Like, never mind, let's fight. And then the battle starts. So, they're not always going to respond the same way to certain answers, because, you know, if you run into Naked Cat Lady, whose picture you brought up earlier.
Yeah, for some reason.
If you run into Naked Cat Lady, and you try to engage her in a conversation, and you end up in a fight and you can kill her, you'll run into, you'll then encounter like another naked cat lady. And just because you had a conversation with her one way previously doesn't mean she's going to respond the exact same way. They do have certain tendencies, all these different demons, but there's no guarantee that you're always going to be able to recruit the one you want if you always approach it this one way.
I gotta say, like, the character designs are incredible at this. They look so
Cool.
They're so diverse.
Yeah, the character artistic style is one of the things that really stands out about this game. I did want to finish off one thought about recruiting. Oh, there's like alignments. There's two different alignments, much like Ogre Battle.
Yeah,
you're that guy.
What? I mean, you're gonna have to explain what's weird about this.
What
one.
The hell?
But it's a cart with
the penis chariot monster.
A big sausage coming out of it.
The penis chariot monster. Yeah, it's perfect.
Does it go?
Sometimes you need extra support on the base because it's just so much.
Right. Right. Don't neglect the balls. Yeah, so there's two alignments that your characters have.
I just thought of South Park or Randy, the episode where he gets legalized marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking around with his testicles in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
What a great character.
That's so good.
Randy Marsh.
Sad.
So much like Ogre Battle, you can basically be good or evil, or there's, if you're right down the middle, you're neutral. So you have that sort of moral alignment, and there's also an elemental alignment. You could be light, neutral, or dark. And depending on where you're tipping and all those alignments, demons will respond to you in different ways. So it's kind of cool.
And is it like pretty easily? I mean, can you navigate the character pretty easily into good or bad? Or is it just sort of like whatever happens?
It's a lot like other RPGs where sometimes you're given these choices, like do you want to support this guy, or do you want to support that guy, or do you want to support neither, and that's going to be your neutral choice. And it's cool because in a lot of RPGs they'll kind of present you with those yes no options, and it doesn't matter what you pick, it's always going to fucking steer you in the direction they want you to go in. So in this one, like, it actually will affect how you're playing through the last maybe 10% of the game. I didn't finish this one, but if I'm kind of judging it on other Shin Megami Tensei games that I've played, how, like, your moral alignment kind of affects that last chapter of the game and who you're fighting in the end.
I'm going to answer the question I had earlier. 8 characters appears to be your max.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's with this moon thing? 1 of 8? Is that, like, the cycles of the moon? Does that...
Not sure.
Yeah? Is there something that's there?
I think it may affect how potent your magic spells are. Like, the fuller the moon, the more potent magic is. But I can't be 100% sure of that.
The more likely you are to encounter the penis chariot.
Maybe.
Oh my god.
So you're bringing these recruited demons into your party during battle, or you can bring them into your party on a more permanent basis so you don't have to spend a turn summoning them into battle. What that will do, though, is you'll have these consumable items that you'll gather from battle, and if you're just keeping your demons with you as you're walking around the world, they have to use those consumable items in order to stay summoned. So much like every other RPG, you're using magic, you're fighting, you're leveling up. Your demons actually don't level up, though. The only way to keep strong demons in your party is to keep on recruiting or to fuse them together. You can fuse 2 or 3 demons together if you really want that penis chariot.
I don't even want to see the 2 that it takes to do that.
It's you know, the thing is, generally with these series, it's not like Pokemon Evolution where you can tell one's coming from the other. It's sometimes way out of left field. You confuse, like, penis chariot with little fairy princess girl and get a dog.
Yeah, that doesn't sound dirty.
It's terrible
very,
at all.
It's all very non-sequitur. And actually, one
just
of my...
Just fuse the penis with the fairy and bam.
Yeah, it's fine. So...
So explain what's happening here. Like, right, what is that about, huh?
So that looks like, that looks like one of the fusions,
what
actually.
Is with the Star of David all over the place?
Man, you know, there's all sorts of religious symbols everywhere. That's why
I can't even tell what's in this one, but apparently the horse.
Yeah,
I noticed that there's a couple of guys here where they are the exact same color as their horse.
Yeah,
and it's not like a normal skin tone either. It's like your bright blue.
Yeah, there's a lady whose skin tone matches their horse exactly. Yep,
isn't that cool?
Who's in the red jumper?
Yeah,
but yeah, it's in such crazy, wacky character design. It's
like the mad scientist.
Yeah, mad scientist. Oh, there's like Yakuza guy who's actually a demon.
Really?
Who just kind of walks around like a thug.
Oh yeah, this is something that is, yeah, I can understand why this is not allowed on a Super Nintendo. You're literally sacrificing a naked woman in front of, mm-hmm. apparently people who are practicing black magic.
Yeah. They're like got the blue hoods on, they're like shirtless KKK people. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe inappropriate.
Right.
Just a little bit.
So, where was I? You're fusing these things together, creating stronger demons, and of course you lose the ones. But it's not like Pokemon where you can... There's a set way to get certain demons. There are demons that you fuse together and you're always going to get a specific end result, but that's not the only way to get that demon. You can fuse two other completely different demons together and still end up with that result. And I think the one complaint I've had about this series in general is there's never really a real concise, easily accessible way to figure out what combinations of demons are going to lead you to those more powerful demons. It's
there's no Pokedex.
Right. You're not filling up a Pokedex.
Demon Pokedex.
There is like this compendium, and it'll show you what demons that you have used or fused together and things like that. However, it's not telling you like you got this demon by fusing those two together. Mm-hmm. So if you, for some reason, like if you fuse that end result demon with a further demon and makes that more powerful and you want to go back and get that one, there's no easy way to tell, okay, I need to go get that one, and I know where they are, and I can fuse them together. So it all requires a lot of experimentation and tinkering, which I did not particularly have time for this time around. Mm-hmm. Recruiting itself isn't super easy. Again, it's something that it requires a lot of experimentation. So, and it's kind of like the opposite of Pokemon, where early on in the game, you're encountering like a dozen different types of demons. It's not like you're on your first route in Red and Blue and it's just Bidgey and Rattata there. Mm. So you know you're being thorough. Like if it's a task in itself to try to get all the demons that you can have. So there's... And in further, in like later Shin Megami Tensei games, there are things like elemental weaknesses. Demons will be weak to certain types of elemental magic. Mm-hmm. Which there are types of elemental magic in this Super Nintendo version. They're all named things that you wouldn't necessarily like associate. Like if you wanted to use electricity magic, it's called Zio. Mm-hmm. And like you use it and a like lightning bolt will come out and you're like, oh, that must be electrical. It's also not very easy to tell if that magic is going to be more effective than, say, your fire magic on certain demons. And later entries in the series, what they'll do is basically use a super effective type of magic. It will delay your opponent's turn and give you an extra turn.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually a really cool way that they bring strategy into the battle, because once you figure out what demons are weak to what, you're able to stack turns together and start wiping through battles really efficiently.
So is there a rock and a ground and they both pretty much do the same thing?
Not that I've noticed. Okay. I think the only elemental types that I've encountered in like Shin Megami Tensei, you got your fire and your ice, you got wind and lightning, and then you got light and dark. So you got your six types.
Okay.
And then also, and I can't really tell if it's happening in this game, but in further entries in the series, attacking with a sword and attacking with a gun is going to net you different results, because some demons will be weak to your sword attacks and others will be weak to your gun attacks.
Oh, I so noticed that when I was looking through one of the screen, like they were basically saying that, yeah, you have access to different items that you can use. Oh yeah, it was like sword, gun, magic, item, defend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these are all things you can do. What would defend be? Is that just like...
Just kind of minimize the damage you take that turn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't know if there is, in this version of the game, a strategic advantage to using a sword versus a gun, other than maybe one is more powerful than the other. But anyway, a lot of this is, they're just very symptomatic of early RPGs. Like, this is kind of the first, like, really big RPG that Atlus did, so they're kind of going through the growing pains of figuring out what it is that you're doing with that series and how you're making things more friendly to a player. So, you know, like any other RPG, you level up, you have a bunch of stats, like strength, intelligence, stamina, speed, luck. When you level up, you get to distribute the stats to whichever areas you want. So you can just like go super heavy into speed if you feel like it. And much like any other RPG, there's a bunch of equipment you can buy. Swords, guns, we already talked about. There's armor for like maybe four or five body parts that you can put on there. And like every other RPG at the time, there are save points that you have to use scattered throughout the world. You can't just save anywhere. And it's kind of... All this stuff is sort of given this coat of paint that is not super attractive. So basically, there's an overworld. When you're out in the overworld, your character moving throughout the screen is kind of represented by this little the board game, the Game of Life token. So it's like this solid color little dude, and you're moving throughout this really static overworld map, and you enter these different areas. And you can only they barricade you off early on to only areas that you can go to, which is probably a good thing. Because all of the areas that you go into are very static, and there's not a whole lot going on, and they all look very similar. So a lot of places, like one place that you go really early on in the game, you're in and out of there a lot, is this mall. And it's really just this set of corridors, like this web of corridors and doors that are all your different shops. And you go in there, you wander around, you try to make sense of it. All of the walls are the same. It's difficult to figure out what door leads to what consistently. And early on in the game, you're spending a lot of time wandering around, hoping to run into a person who you want to initiate a conversation with. And once you find those people to initiate conversations with, you're then maybe adding someone to your party and then gaining access to a different area on your overworld and going in there and looking for the next sort of conversation to have. Mm-hmm. So there is like this auto-mapping feature, which I couldn't really figure out how to use. It's not very easy to navigate these corridors, because a lot of times if you want to like turn around, you're not turning in a way that would make logical sense. Like if I see a door a little bit in front of me to the left and I want to go in that door, I pretty much have to walk forward until I don't see that door anymore and then turn left.
So it's like Street View navigation?
Yeah.
If you ever use Google Street View.
Right. So, yeah, and everything looks so darn similar that early goings on in this game, it's tough to tell where, you know, what everything is. I think where the art of this game really shines is in that character modeling. And then also...
That looks so cool. Yeah. I mean, these backgrounds are fantastic. The character designs are gorgeous. They're just fun to look at, even, like, having not really played the game.
So what'll happen is, there's this narrative turn a little bit into the game, and I think I was pretty close to it when I lost my save progress, because I was playing this game streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this narrative turn where you've recruited your four characters, and one of them gets kidnapped. You go to rescue them, and somebody launches a nuclear missile.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course,
yeah, they
go to happen.
They kill off the character that was rescued, who gets reincarnated later.
Spoilers.
And, fuck you! This game is 24 years old. So kill this character, and then like as the character is dying, she is able to sort of send you into like the sacred realm in Ocarina of Time, essentially. and when you like reemerge from it, it's
30, in Ocarina. Man.
It's fuck you. The game is 20 years old. Shut the fuck up. So when you awaken, the world has ended, and actually we get all this like post-apocalyptic kind of stuff. There's demons running around everywhere. Everything looks really like drab and goth. So. Yeah, that's where the game, like, that's where the art style really comes to life, is when they're getting, like, really grim with everything.
Now, small question.
Uh-huh.
Is this one chronologically connected to, like, the other Shin Megami Tensei's? Like,
I don't think so.
Number 4 and everything like
no,
that?
No, I don't think so.
They're just all standalones, just same concept.
I think they're kind of standalones, like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I think that there are, like, continuations, but Shin Megami Tensei 4 I don't think is related to any of the other ones. Like Shin Megami Tensei 3 I don't think would be related to any of them. So it's kind of like there's a sequel to Shin Megami Tensei 4 coming out this year. It's called Shin Megami Tensei 4
5.
Apocalypse.
Oh,
no.
Oh.
It's kind of like the Final Fantasy X and X2 kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
It seems like if it's a continuation of that game, they'll call it the same thing, give it a subtitle.
Okay. Like Final Fantasy X2, this game blows.
How many times did you play it?
Through once.
Okay. How many times did you try after that?
Maybe 2.
Mm. Is this a glutton for punishment?
Apparently.
Is it really that bad?
Yeah, it's just dry and...
It's very heavy on a job system that...
Isn't that good?
Yeah, I don't think that the dress sphere thing was very successful at... make it interesting to change out jobs and level up jobs and things like that. Anyway, where were we? We were talking about the art style, the character art. We've already talked a little bit about the character art, but it's probably the most standout visual element in this game. You already saw the good cat lady. There is a chicken with an old man head.
Nice.
There is, we already talked about the lady whose skin matches her horse. There is a snowman jester.
Of course.
Right, yeah.
So if I make a snowman, then, you know.
There, we already talked about penis man on the chariot. There's yeah, also
that's a thing.
Yeah, there's also a green dog with bat ears. Like, not like ears of a bat, but like his ears are bat wings. Because, yeah.
Why wouldn't it?
Right. Why not?
All right.
So you can import this game if you really want to play it on a Super Nintendo. It's $25 for an import copy on Amazon plus shipping. Or you can download it on your iOS device or Android for $10 and you kind of get the enhanced edition that has some friendlier elements to it.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, been going on for a while, so why don't we kick it back to you?
Actually, I wanted to ask a few things.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, so have you played this game, Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE?
Comes out next month.
Oh, does it?
Yep.
All right, well, that's their next project, and they're actually comparing it a lot to Shin Megami Tensei. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much in the Dark Occult,
yeah,
but just in how it's set in modern-day Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it is a kind of insane-looking... Here's a quick glimpse of how insane an RPG this looks like.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
There's a lot happening there.
Oh, God.
And I just want to commend Atlus, like, just as they are all over every console,
mm-hmm.
still releasing games, obviously... And they do all different kinds of games. They really have no... There's no way to pin these guys down on anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they're... I know them as just a couple of games I've played here and there, but... Yeah. Like, kind of... I mean, I had never really thought of this...
Yeah, they...
...studio as being much, but...
You know, it's kind of funny because they make a lot of games, and they're usually, you know, pretty solid quality.
Yeah.
But they're all over the place with, like, their bread and butter is, like, the Shin Megami Tensei, also the Persona series, which is an offshoot of Shin Megami Tensei.
Mm-hmm.
And the Etrian Odyssey series is a pretty big one for them now on 3DS. But they're never really huge sellers. Like, they find ways to continue to make games and have a really high output where, you know, maybe they're selling a few hundred thousand copies. Like, they don't really have, like, these huge, like... Call of Duty or even Final Fantasy level heavy hitter. Like these games that are not selling in the millions.
They developed 10 different games for the Nintendo, the original Nintendo mm-hmm. Entertainment System.
Yeah.
These guys have been around for fucking ever.
Yep.
I mean, the games that they're coming out, those Shin Megamis and the Etrian Odysseys, I mean, they're...
But this is like a Shin Megami Tensei game.
They have their own little, like, weird twist to them as mm-hmm. well. That's probably
yep.
why they try weird things, and that's probably why they're not... getting out those kind of games like the Final Fantasy and stuff like that, because they're not...
Well,
there's certain,
like,
aspects of them that
Karate
make it unappealing for people.
They did Friday the 13th,
right.
A game called Golf Grand Slam. I can only assume that's about tennis.
You know? It's bowling.
Rockin' Cats, what the hell is that? Wacky Races. They did the adaptation of Wacky Races.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, so...
Of course.
Fuck.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a developer and a publisher that really found their niche and knows how to appeal to... their audience, their fans, and that's they're totally satisfied with continuing to sell stuff to their fans and stay in business that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, Tokyo Mirage Sessions. We'll probably talk about that one on the official show and preview for next month because I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get it.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool. I got one last game.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is something that I think Wes can contribute on.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Recently, just played a solitaire based. Horse racing game. Let's say we get rid of solitaire and talk about a RPG built around
replace it with hearts
horses called Derby Stallion 3.
Oh boy!
Yeah, get ready.
Are we going to be lost because we haven't talked about one or two?
I don't think we will. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe this is kind of it's one that you got to keep up with.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Deep story.
So how did I find this game? I was looking at a list of the 50 top selling Super Nintendo games of all time. Shocker, selling 1.3 million copies and never even being released in the US.
Get the fuck
Derby
out of here.
Stallion 3.
Great.
It was like the 40th bestseller.
What did it beat? I want to know what it beat.
Oh, I can tell you.
It beat regular solitaire.
Probably some Mahjong.
Yeah. Where did I find it on the list here? Okay, so it beat Dragon Warrior 1 and 2, oh Mega Man X.
Wow. It beat up Mega Man X?
It beat another installment of its own franchise.
I am pissed.
Derby Stallion 96. Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Final Fight 2, NBA Jam, Super Metroid. Beat Super Metroid.
God, dude, those are all solid games.
Well, you'll be happy to know Aladdin beat it.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a...
Way to break my idealized view of the 16-bit era.
So
I thought we were smarter then.
I will say, first and foremost, I did not play any of this game. For starters, it is all in Japanese, uh-huh. So I couldn't read any of it. Well, from what I could tell of it, one, it's got really nice animation. It's got all of these really attractive-looking drawings of, you know, like, horses and shit. There's no real, like, actual... I mean, there probably is racing in it, but I didn't see too much actual horse racing. You don't have to, like, actually put these things down a track. It's mostly in a, I don't know, what would you say, Harvest Moon-style way. You spend more of your time on the ranch.
You're really selling me on this game, right?
Yeah, I know you love your Harvest Moon.
Oh, there
it's got horses. It's got ponies everywhere. But yeah, you've got these horses, or you've got a horse, at least, at first, and then you buy all of these things, which I guess are, like, I don't know, hormone injections or something.
I mean, get some steroids.
Yeah, pump them full of steroids.
Give yourself a drugstore handicap.
Yeah, I'm sure there's one where you can give it puncture site abscesses.
Uh-huh,
really do terrible things to them just because you don't want to grind these things into the dirt.
It's a terrible sport. It's a terrible sport.
It really
sport.
Is awful. I can't believe
that. And right next door is a glue factory from when the horses retire.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. Yeah, so, you know, circle of life, right? You erase them, then you turn them into glue.
Yep.
Mm. So, again, I just thought this was kind of funny. This is a really top-selling game from 1995. It's one of the 10 best-selling games for that year.
Dear God.
And it's about horse racing.
Great. It's perfect.
Which is like Japan, do they even give a shit about horse racing?
I don't know, maybe they
I've never associated this with their culture.
Do they have horses?
Stop it.
I don't know. Maybe. They probably got two or three.
They got to go in the zoo somewhere.
In the zoo. They're like as majestic to them as like a giraffe is for us. We're like, what the fuck is this thing?
Well, they must have some sort of precedent. Because like in Fire Emblem, there's cavaliers and paladins. There are people who ride horses.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess.
It's like more hay for the emperor.
All right, do you have anything else you want to throw there? About?
I am done belittling their culture. Okay. yeah, no, I got nothing else to say.
All right, let's take a quick break and then come back. And I got a game. So I got a game, and it's been a while since we played something like this, because we did, what did we do before? We did, like, is it a Super Nintendo game, or is it a Dorito flavor?
Oh, yeah.
I think we did, like, is it a Super Nintendo game, or is it, like, a flavor of Mountain Dew?
Oh, my gosh, we're doing that again?
Is it a Super Nintendo game, or is it a B-movie?
A B-movie?
Okay.
What do you mean, a B-movie? Like a movie about bees?
For fuck's sake. A piece of shit movie.
Oh.
Like a Roger Corman.
Oh. Something you see on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
The gay N-words from outer space.
God damn it.
It's a movie that came out in the 90s.
So, I'm going to give you the title of this particular piece of media, whether it is a game or a movie. I'm going to give you a brief, like a one-sentence plot synopsis.
Oh my God.
And you are going to tell me, is that a game or is it a movie?
Okay.
So here we go, and we're not gonna keep score. We'll let you like each take a stab at this. We won't keep score or anything. We won't go in that deep with it. It'll just be fun.
Steal.
So
I'm ready to steal.
So here we go. Number one, this thing is called Cybernator. A shortage of fossil fuels leads to a massive war all over the Earth as people fight for control over resources as well as territorial rights over the moon. So, they're fighting for the oil and the moon.
Okay. I think, okay, so from what you're describing, it sounds like you're selling me on some gameplay. Can you read it all again? Is it not too much to read again?
A shortage of fossil fuels leads to a massive war all over the Earth for control of resources, as well as territorial rights over the moon.
Yeah, you see, this sounds like some sort of strategy game, maybe? Or some kind of... It's not like, this guy's got to go to the moon and rescue some people. It's sort of like...
Yeah, like they're not really being a big pitch for a movie. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is back and... Man, he hates kids.
I will tell you.
I was going for Kindergarten Cop on that one.
I will tell you, I tried as much as possible to not give any sort of character names or descriptions of people who might be starring in a particular.
I'm going to go with a game.
I'm going to say that it is a game as well. I think it's a strategy game.
Right on. I actually probably should have written this down because I'm going from memory here. It is a game. You're both right.
Yes.
Well done.
Cybernator is a... I believe it's a run-and-gun action game.
Oh, okay.
For the Super Nintendo.
Studio in here? Continue.
No.
How many?
Absolutely not.
This is the third question.
So, yeah, and I actually did think about like doing like a year of release, but some of the movies here are not from the 90s. So, okay. Here's the next one.
Yeah.
This one's called The Alien Factor. A spaceship transporting interplanetary zoo. A spaceship transporting an interplanetary zoo crashes into the woods, unleashing a horde of flesh-eating aliens.
I'm going to go with movie on this one.
This sounds like a great premise for a movie. Yeah.
This is indeed a movie.
There we go.
You guys are 2 for 2.
All right, we're really smart.
Okay.
Yay, go us. We're good at this game.
This thing is called Megaforce.
Megaforce.
An elite force of soldiers travels the world to eliminate an old comrade turned evil who stole their favorite lighter.
Stole their favorite lighter?
Yep.
This sounds like it could just as easily be both.
Yeah. Like, it sounded like a movie up until it stole his favorite lighter. I'm like, well, that sounds like a game.
There are no trick questions here. There are no. It's either one or the other.
I'm going with the game.
I'm going to say movie.
Ooh.
It is a movie.
Yeah!
Megaforce is a movie. Okay. Here's another one.
God damn it. Yeah.
This one's called Hagane, The Final Conflict.
That's a game.
Have you heard of it?
It's one of the most... It's probably the single most expensive game. I think I'm... It's got to
be... All right, I'll go with game.
You are... Can I give you an idea? It's like you're a cyber ninja in the future, and you're trying to, like... figure out why everything is so dark and you can't really see where you're going in the game.
Rival ninja clans battling over the Holy Grail and building cyber robots, yeah.
Yeah!
That's a game.
You know, I kind of want to watch Megaforce now. I don't want to. It just sounds
good. I saw some screens. You don't want to watch it.
I don't want to watch that.
No, absolutely
not. But they're fighting over a lighter.
So
I saw a speedrun of it. Games Done Quick.
Nice.
And it's just a game people obsess over. Yeah, a cartridge goes for like $400.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So here's another one for you. This is called Your Hunter from the Future.
Mm.
An amnesiac prehistoric warrior must find the goddess that possesses his matching medallion.
Is that Your, like Your colon?
Y-O-R, Your. Kind of like a Viking kind of name.
Okay.
I'm going to go with game.
An amnesiac prehistoric warrior must find the goddess that possesses his...
Although they say amnesiac, so that's kind of like... They never really address that kind of stuff in games. They just assume, like, silent protagonist.
You're right. No one in an RPG ever has amnesia.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's usually, like, silent protagonist, and they're just like, we're going to explain it to you, because you're not saying that you know this shit or not. So, buckle in. You're going to get it.
Could you imagine how poorly written Final Fantasy X would have been if it had an amnesiac story? I will say...
I'll stick with the game.
I don't know. I'll go movie, just be different.
It is a movie.
You notice you've been going back and forth, right? I'm about to just guess game again, just because, you know.
So far, it's been game, movie, movie, game, movie.
Well, never mind on that.
All I know is I've been right.
I think the game's
right. Dude, it's good. We're not going to score.
I think John's changing the rule. The outcome is just... Just to piss me off. I know it now.
Speaking of being pissed off.
Loose this right again in a non-game.
This one's called Kendo Rage.
Alright, what gen?
An American girl goes to Japan to go to summer school and fights monsters every day on her way.
I'll say movie.
I'll go game.
It is a game.
Yeah, suck it, Brian.
Fuck this game. Suck it. Stupid. You're all suck. Stupid.
Yeah, yeah. See? See what I've been saying.
Okay, here we go. Here's another one. Metal Combat Falcon's Revenge.
Oh my god.
That's a. I can. You don't even have to read anything. That sounds very game. Go ahead.
You want to hear the description, Wes?
Go ahead.
A presumed dead tyrant returns from the grave, revealing that he is only part of a large alien force about to conquer Earth.
Is he also part Falcon?
No.
Damn it.
Not that I'm aware.
What is that name again? That sounds like such a game name.
Metal Combat, Falcon's Rage. Sorry. Falcon's Revenge. I'm sorry. Falcon's Revenge.
I will say game.
I'm going to go with Mui.
It is a game. It's a Super Nintendo game.
All right.
This one might be another gimme.
Alright.
This one's called Cyborg. Here's the description. A mercenary fighter must escort a cyborg woman to the city where scientists are working on a cure to a worldwide plague.
I feel like both of us should be right no matter what. Because I'm sure there is a movie called Cyborg out there.
There is a movie called Cyborg, and I think I've seen it, and from what little I remember of it, it sounds like that might be it. I'm gonna say movie.
I'll go with movie.
It is a movie.
There we go.
That is the movie Cyborg.
I'm just going to guess the same thing as Ryan for now. Like, I got some points I got to make up.
There are no points.
You should be like, the next one is Jurassic Park. Or you could literally be like, Lion King. It's about a lion whose father died. It's basically Hamlet. And we could be like, game and movie.
This one's called Operation Thunderbolt. Two American Green Berets must rescue hostages from a hijacked airliner.
I'm going to go movie again.
Hard to build a game around one location like that. I will say movie as well.
Harrison Ford is there. He says, get off my plane.
Really? Is it Air Force One?
No, this is a game. This is a Super Nintendo game. Operation Thunderbolt.
Air Force One.
Gary Oldman moves so good.
I'm going to say movie.
Okay. It's a game.
Did we establish that already?
Air Force One?
This is too fun. I've totally lost the plot here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what are we doing?
All right, John, but before we go to the next one, what's the points at?
You were at -1. Ryan's at 4 billion.
Ooh. Man.
I got this.
Was it because of Hagani?
This next one's worth 5 billion points, though.
Oh,
it is called Power Athlete. And it is, an American athlete must take down a shifty matador, tribal warrior, and Chinese martial artist in a no-holds-barred fighting tournament.
You mean Punch Out 2?
It sounds like a fighting game. I will say a game.
Oh, you gotta go game.
It is a game.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun game. What was that, matadors in there? I thought matadors' entire objective was to not touch anything.
Just beat up all the races.
There's a matador.
He's the worst fighter. He just tires his opponent while the people in the stands throw spears at him. Bullfighting, by the way, is just slightly worse than horse racing.
Because don't they like? Are they guaranteed to kill the bull every time? Like, is it?
At what point does the bull win? Like, is this all right? Bull one. I think
even if the matador just gets gored by the bull, they probably still kill the bull.
Right.
You know
that it really is like a blood sport. It's anyway.
This got real.
Way to be a downer.
What a PSA we just had there.
All right, so Time Chasers.
Okay.
Is a thing.
That's a game.
And in.
I'm gonna say it's a movie. Don't even read it.
Don't even read it.
No. Okay.
It is a movie, Ryan, you're right.
Yeah!
But Time Chasers is a movie about an inventor who sells his time machine made out of a Commodore 64 and airplane parts to an evil businessman and must get it back.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think Super Nintendo
amazing. Would be amazing. I really want
to
watch this.
We might have to watch Time Chasers.
We may
Chasers.
Have to watch that one. If only followed by Time Bandits.
Time Bandits is great.
Time Bandits is really good.
It's a really good movie.
So... All right, here we go. Last one. This one's called Time Slip. Time-traveling aliens discover a wormhole to Earth and launch attacks to conquer the planet throughout history, and only one scientist can stop them.
I'm just going to go game again, because, you know.
It sounds to me like a movie. I will say movie.
It is a game.
There we go.
Super Nintendo game.
Ouch. All right. Was that worth $10
billion? No.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to find Time Chasers.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it looks great,
doesn't it? The main character's got a mullet.
Okay, so you look at that glorious mullet. We'll close out the show here, because unless you guys got something else, I think it's going to close it out.
I got 3 Game Boy games to talk about.
Let's do it.
I'm kidding.
Is it Tetris, Mario Land, and...
I have DuckTales, Baseball, and Quicks.
Nice. So, yeah, that's going to bring the show to a close. Next up is going to be the official show. We'll do some news. We won't talk about too many new releases because there weren't many of them, but we'll preview June, and that'll be fun. But in between now and then, probably have at least one Space World. See what happens.
Cool. But yeah. Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm really pumped about doing that one.
Also in the Alien franchise, so it fits.
Yeah.
So, till next time, everybody.
So long.
Later.